The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And they were about to part from him. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Now you can. Our readings this morning are very dramatic. We have animals being cut in half. We have clouds and smoke, people from the dead appearing, a voice being heard from heaven. People are asleep, afraid. Yet the common theme of all our readings today is transfiguration, transformation. Every second Sunday of Lent, the church gives us the gospel about Jesus' transfiguration on the mountaintop. And that's to remind us that's really what Lent is all about. It's about our own transformation. It's about those little transformations that we undergo year and year till finally we undergo that last and final transformation, where our mortal bodies are being transformed and will be transformed to immortal bodies where we will be with God for all eternity. That's what Lent is all about. It's not about fasting so we can lose a few pounds before the summer comes around. It's about transformation. Just like nature around us is transformed from the dead being dead in winter to new life springing as we enter into the spring. That same thing is supposed to happen to us, to be renewed in our discipleship, in our love for Christ. So let's see what that transformation is about in every one of these readings. In the first readings, we hear about Abraham. Abraham is the same as Abraham because later on, God changed his name to Abraham. And God gives Abraham a promise. He tells them, "Look at the stars of the sky. Your descendants will be more numerous than these stars." Now, the problem with that promise is that Abraham was over 70 years old, him and his wife, and they couldn't have children. And there's God telling him, "You got to have more children and descendants than the stars of the sky." And we are told that Abraham believed God, trusted in that promise, and that's why it was given to him as righteousness. He was in the right relationship with God of trusting the word of God. Some scripture scholar says this is the birth of faith. The first time when someone believed in the promises of God without having 100% proof. Abraham trusted, although it was against his common sense, how can he have any children? And then God makes a covenant with Abraham. And you hear the word covenant used a lot in our liturgy and scriptures, Jesus' covenant with us. And a covenant is a contract. But usually a covenant is a contract between someone who is more powerful than the other party. The two parties who enter into that contract are not on the same level of power. Usually like a conqueror and those who are conquered. They enter into covenant with the conquered, promise to obey the conqueror, and he let him live. And what we heard about the animals being cut in half, it's that's one way they kind of ritualize that covenant. If you remember, sometimes in Western movies, you'll see the Native Americans and the settlers reach an agreement, and they cut themselves by the knife, and they mix their blood. Well, that's kind of similar to it. At that time, that's what they did. And the idea is that as those animals were cut into half, and obviously they die, so that what will happen to the conquered if they don't follow the covenant, if they don't obey the covenant. But what's interesting in today's reading, who walked through those dead animals? It wasn't Abraham. God did. The conquered one, not the conquered. God is telling Abraham, helping Abraham to grow in his trust in him, telling him, look, if you believe in me, I will die if I don't fulfill my words. And God, Abraham trusted in God, and the relationship continued to grow and to trust more and more until one day, as you know, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his own son, and we wonder, how could Abraham say yes? Because he had a long history of trusting God and experiencing that God always keeps his promises. Then we come to the second reading with Paul. Another story of transformation. As you know, Paul also, his name used to be Saul, and it was changed to Paul. And Saul was a very zealous Pharisee, Jew, who went around gathering Christians and throwing them in jail in Jerusalem because to him they were heretics. They were changing the law. They were telling people not to believe in the law. They were declaring this person to be the Messiah. He went even further to ask permission to go to Damascus to bring Christians from there to be put in prison in Jerusalem. And as you know, in his journey to Damascus, he had an encounter with Christ. Christ appeared to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then Jesus gave him directions. Go to Damascus. And he listened. And the one who used to throw Christians in the jail was being thrown in jail for his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why he tells the Philippians, be imitators of me. Change your lives. Change from worshiping the God of your stomachs to worshiping the true God, Jesus Christ. Who's the God of our stomach? Our desire. Wherever I feel like it, I do it, and it's good, it's okay. If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm not happy, I'll take drugs, or maybe I'll drink, or I'll have sex. If I'm not satisfied, maybe I need more money, a bigger house, go to a better vacation. Just whatever I feel like it, that's what I should do, and it's good, it's okay. We don't want any restrictions, we don't want any limitations on us telling us, no, that's not good. We want to do whatever we want to do. That's how we worship the God of our stomachs. And think of it. If that's what we continue to do, what I want is different than what you want, or what you want is what you want. And sooner or later, since we all live in the same world, there's going to be conflict. Because what I want for myself might infringe on you, and you're not going to like it. And that's what we see in the world. Division. war, anger, because we're all following the God of our stomachs, not the true God who is in heaven. And that's the transformation that Jesus wants us to undertake. And he knows it's difficult, and that's why Paul tells us, accept the cross of Christ. That's where the cross comes in, not in physical pain or suffering, but the cross of believing that the strongest weapon we have is that of love, and that in the end, love will conquer everything. Love is what will unite us. Love is what will save us. Love what will bring us to heaven. And finally, we come to the gospel with the transfiguration of Jesus, and there we see how the apostles react to it. See, the transfiguration happens just after Jesus tells them for the first time that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer, die, and rise. And obviously, they're resisting the gospel of the cross, the message of the cross. Peter tells them, no, Lord, you shouldn't go there. And that's why God gives them that encounter, that experience, where he tells them, reminds them, who is the one who told them they have to go to Jerusalem? This is my chosen son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Trust him, like Abraham, like Moses, like Elijah. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's a cross. But that cross will be your salvation. So here we are at the second Sunday of Lent. We had one full week of Lent plus a few days, you know, from Ash Wednesday. How's your Lent going? Are you fulfilling whatever you promised to do in Lent? Let me teach you a trick. I usually pick like 5 or 6 things, so if I break 2 or 3 of them, I'm still going good with the rest. Whatever you promise to do, if you already weren't able to do it, don't give up. That's okay. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's about forgiveness, second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Get up and start again. Have a new beginning. But I hope that one of the things you promise to do is to do what God told us to do in the gospel today. Listen to Jesus. See, we're not the ones who can bring about that transformation in us. Jesus will give us the directions for that transformation. We need to listen to him. We are his followers. You know, there's a story told about Dorothy Day that every Lent she would give up smoking. And some of you might know that experience. When people try to do this, they become miserable for the people around them. So finally, her community would tell her, please, please, for this Lent, don't give up smoking. And finally, one Lent, she decided, instead of giving up smoking, she's going to pray that she will stop smoking. And one day, she woke up, and she never smoked again. When we listen to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will help us to be transformed. It's the work of the Spirit in us. We are citizens of heaven. We are children of God. We don't have to do things alone. All we have to do is listen to God, say yes, and then you'll see the transformation in your life.